Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and Doug Thornton is here with us too. He's the host of the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we, or I, today put, actually yesterday now, I put something out on Rumble, and I said we were going to do a blockbuster show, and I think this is the first of many. Doug and I just spent an hour and a half in preliminary talks. In these volatile times, we never find universal agreement with each other, but I think we agree. We live in very serious times that threaten our very existence. And Doug and I both operate under the lens of what does God say about this? And then, secondly, do we submit ourselves to government if government's illegitimate and violates the word of God, violates the Constitution? Yeah, these are some tough issues. They really are. Anyway, we have a couple of sponsors for this show. For me, Noble Gold. And I've been talking a lot about silver because silver is exploding because it's in all the climate change technology. And even if Trump, with his green scam attitude, gets into office, these corporations aren't going to stop. BlackRock is not going to stop investing in these corporations, being their asset manager. And silver is going to explode. Silver is actually taking up a higher percentage for climate change technology than it did just a couple of years ago. It's gone from 14% to over 20% of the available silver. There are someday going to be shortages with the trend that's going, and the price is escalating. There's a ratio between gold and silver the bankers have held down so they could purchase a lot of it for climate change. And now they've relaxed that, and silver is starting to climb. And I tell people, hey, silver is the way to go. I have been a customer of Noble Gold specifically with regard to silver. And they can also convert your retirement, take it out of the bank so you don't lose it to the bank, and back it with silver or back it with gold, your choice. These minerals have held their value for thousands of years, and you'll control it, you'll own it. And I can send you a free information packet to tell you how you can do it. Go to davehodgesgold.com. That's davehodgesgold.com. And what I'll tell you about here is Doug's got, we may need this sooner rather than later. A state senator today, I'm trying to think of the state. I think it might have been Illinois or Wisconsin, but a state senator came today and said if Trump doesn't win the election, there'll be a civil war. I think if Trump does win the election, there'll be a civil war. I think the odds are high, and we got to pray for some divine intervention here. And Doug is teaching people how to take care of themselves. And we're coming up on his training date. Doug, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so over at Vindicta Solutions, vindictasolutions.com. Deep to learn how to. So what we're doing is just your pistols, your rifles in a close quarters combat style arena where you also have shoot, don't shoot. Times where you're dealing with role players who could be an innocent, who could be an unknown type of threat, or someone who could be an outright threat. And so there's a lot of tips and tricks of the trade that we teach you, more especially so that you, for one thing, don't accidentally hurt the wrong person or yourself in a violent encounter. But always consider what we train is, for your protection, for you and your family, or for others, especially in and around your own home. From there, what we teach can be applied just about anywhere. So if you're interested, please go to vindictasolutions.com. We do have more training than that. We have a patrol course, and we also have a radio course that's coming up. Patrol course is at the end of August. The radio course, I believe, is on the 14th of September. And here in just a few days, we'll have the July course at Ready Made Resources in Eastern Tennessee. So if you're interested in that, please hit us up.
Okay. I really encourage you to take advantage of this, people, because I hate to say it, but I think everyone could be a frontline participant in the conflicts that could be coming. I pray that that's not true, but I also see this unfolding. It used to be in the old days, Democrats and Republicans would call each other names and fight like hell on the floor of the House or Senate, and then they all go out to lunch together and have a beer. And those days are gone. These people, if they could get away with it, like to duel with each other at 12 paces. So it's unfortunate we're at this place, but we are. One of the things we want to talk about, we said we'd address it, and I addressed it today or yesterday or earlier on a broadcast. I think it's possible Joe Biden might be dead. And I wanted to throw that to Doug and get his reasons, and we'll compare the two. But things are really, this has not been handled normally with his bowing out. There's a lot of things I see that are wrong. Doug, what do you think?
This whole thing is really weird about Biden. Is he alive? Is he dead? Is he just brain dead? And his body's still up and walking around. He hasn't been seen since he said that he was going to bow out of the 2024 election. He got, COVID. He cancels 9 trips, extends the Delaware stays. And now we're hearing rumor that he was in Vegas. And the Vegas PD said that he slipped and fell and he's succumbed to his injuries and he's dead. And they've cleared the air over Delaware, which if so, then it's probably because of Dover, Delaware, which is where the U.S. military's morticians are at. That's just me spitballing. And now supposedly Kamala Harris is meeting with the cabinet. But when I go to Google it or anything else, I hate saying that word, Googling it. When I go to look it up on the intranet of things, the machine that would never lie to us, always tell us the truth, I can't find anything. So
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Are you surprised? Are you surprised?
No, but let me ask you this. Do you think that on Biden's signature on withdrawal the presidential election, do you think that's its signature, or do you think it's forged?
I don't know. I don't know enough to judge it. It's interesting. I didn't even look at it. I'll tell you what I have a problem with. It's not whether the signature is real or not. You're going to make me go look tomorrow based on what you said. Problem I have with it is this. A major head of state of the major nation on this planet withdraws from a heated presidential race in which he's getting pressure to quit, and he doesn't even have a minor press conference to announce it. He writes a resignation letter from the campaign, and it's on his personal stationery, not White House stationery. This is nuts. This is not normal. And then he.
I would like to bring up, Dave, that we've been talking about this for a few years, though, that it would be about this time that he would resign.
Yeah, we've said this, yes. But I'm just saying that the way that it's handled. This is what makes some people think he's dead. And people say, well, why not just announce he's dead? And this is my answer. Right now, Kamala's getting a little honeymoon. She's getting some endorsements. She's getting this and that. But they ain't had the convention yet. And if Kamala gets up there and cackles like a hen, she could get challenged. And if he is dead, she becomes the president. And can you imagine getting into the convention and saying, no, she can't win. We got to get somebody else other than her. Then you'd have to unseat a sitting president that is legitimately the incumbent for the election and then run someone secondary. That would be a public relations nightmare for the Democrats if it went down in that scenario. And I don't know that this is the case. But it's one of the places my mind went when I'm thinking, where is he? And then they have this recorded phone call that was released today. Folks, you ever heard of AI? That phone
Yeah.
call meant nothing to me. Nothing. Why didn't he appear in public and hold up Kamala's arm and said, I nominate her, best of luck, hug Kamala, and then someone shows him what door to leave off the stage?
And hands him an ice cream cone.
There you go. Exactly.
Good,
So,
good job, Joe.
yeah, or they could even done a virtual Zoom, and of course they could fake that with AI too. I want him before real reporters that can see the man in the flesh. There's
Hey,
something really wrong here.
let me ask you something. If Biden does have to step down or is dead, either one, and Kamala does automatically then become the president, who becomes her VP? Because she gets to pick.
But it has to be approved by the Senate too, which is a formality today. No, I don't know if it's a two-thirds vote or not. You got me on a technicality there, Doug. I don't know if it's a two-thirds vote. If it's a simple majority, she'll get to pick who she wants. And
Who would be the pick?
everyone's still mentioning Hillary, despite everything is going. It's Mark Kelly, it's the North Carolina governor, it's Gretchen Whitmer, and no one's talking Hillary, but a lot of the people who I think are in the know, and I think I'm somewhat in the know, they want Hillary in because she can enact Obama's policies that he set up to subjugate America and fundamentally transform the nation. So I don't think this Kamala deal is done. I don't care how much they throw the balloons in the air and say, she's the chosen one. She's young. She's pretty. Trump is old and ugly. Get him out. I don't care how much they say that crap. I don't think this is a done deal.
Well, we've speculated on this so much. If Biden is forced out and Kamala gets up there and then she has her VP pick, let's say it's Big Mike, right? It's Michelle Obama. And then Kamala steps down for whatever reason. And then that leaves Hillary or Michelle Obama or Gavin Newsom or Whitmer. It doesn't matter. The capability is there to do that. So, because if not, who is a Speaker of the House right now?
Mike Johnson. No,
Right.
it ain't going to be Mike Johnson. Kamala's allowed to pick. Let me put this in here and I'll. Okay. What percentage of vote does an appointed VP have to receive? Let's see what we get here. I'm getting election results here. I said appointment. I didn't say election. So much for Google's intelligence. It's all Electoral College. I'm not getting an answer here. I apologize, people. I don't know the answer to that. Gerald Ford, I believe, was the last one that actually had that status. Spiro Agnew had to resign because of discovery of construction kickbacks when he was governor of Maryland. And so Nixon went out and got Gerald Ford. And it was a reward for Ford because he was on the Warren Commission, read between the lines. And he was okay as a vice president. I don't remember if it was, but I think it was near unanimous. So I don't think the half or two-thirds comes in. Doug, I'm going to guess and say it's you just have to have a majority. So Kamala would get to pick. So in effect, she'd be picking the VP to serve out this term if Biden steps down, and she'd be picking out the VP to run with her for election. Here's the danger, though, Doug. Okay. And I'm going to say this openly right now. Biden, if he is alive, okay, and if he's half comatose, stick a pen in his hand and sign X. He needs to be the hell out of the Oval Office. We can't take a 6-month lame duck period where we don't have anyone minding the store, or we've got government by the deep state by default, which we've had for 3.5 years. And Kamala lied about it when she said he was fully functional. But Doug, that really does concern me because we're going from July to January to the next swearing in, a 6-month lame duck where we're the most vulnerable to our enemies. Any thoughts on that?
Who would be worse? Who'd be worse, Michelle, Hillary, or Kamala?
I'd categorize it. Hillary would be the most dangerous to our longevity, especially if you're a Christian, you're MAGA. Okay? She'd be very dangerous to us. And I mean life-threatening dangerous. And Michelle will be just a tool for the global elite managed by her husband, or I should say Big Michael. Okay, that's so I would say most manageable, most compliant, another Joe Biden, speak a little better, maybe not make an ass of herself in public so much, but nonetheless, the control mechanism would be the same as Biden. And then what was your third one?
Kamala. Who'd be the worst?
She's so flipping stupid. And
is that just an is that really her, or is that just an act?
It's her.
Because she literally has not done anything for 4 years. I saw her get corrected by a second grader.
She's the border czar, and she went to downtown El Paso after they cleaned it up and said, there's no problem at the border. She didn't go to the border.
Well, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12 says that my people, infants are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, your guides mislead you, and they have swallowed up the course of your paths. So, by the Bible's verdict, if we were to get Kamala, Hillary, or Michelle, then that is a judgment.
Oh, well, we're a country that deserves judgment. We've killed 70 million unborn babies. I guess now I have to say some of them were born.
God forbid.
Partial birth abortion. Yeah, post-birth abortion. Yeah.
Who was that? The governor of Virginia, who said that after the child was born, leave them by themselves until they dehydrate and die.
Oh, I can't remember his name. It wasn't Glenn Youngkin, the present guy. It was the guy before him, and his name jumped.
He was the one before him.
He was a Democrat, and he was a total fill-in-the-blank. It was Glenn. It was not Glenn Youngkin. Although Glenn Youngkin has connections to the Carlyle Group. Okay, so kind of open up Pandora's box. Doug is shrugging his shoulders right now. Saying,
this is what we were talking about earlier.
I know.
This is what we were talking about earlier.
I know. We had an hour and a half discussion and talking about
you
every,
have the left,
every
you've
politician.
Got the left-hand path and the right-hand path.
I don't
the
think
right-hand path wants to look good to you. And then the left-hand path doesn't care what they look like. They both all aim for the same thing, as power and oppression.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I don't think the left-hand and right-hand are equal. And I think the left-hand has more devastating consequences that are more immediate than the right-hand. If you had the right-hand versus the left-hand, it was your only two choices, and indifference was not a choice, I would say you're better off with the right-hand for a while. And I'll just say this. Oh, I'm going to love it. We opened up Pandora's box here, Doug. Hillary or Trump?
You want my honest opinion at this point in time, like what I told you earlier?
I know what your opinion is. Please share it.
My honest opinion is God's will be done in my country. That's not going to be very popular with Christians who want to idolize this country and their politicians.
Yeah.
And they're not putting God first. Whatever happens in this country, as Christians, God's word is supreme. And that just is what it is. And we're to endure. We're not here to be conquerors. Remember, Jesus said that. We're here to endure. Remember, the patience of the saints. Patience and endurance.
I don't think it means, though, that we don't fight for what's right.
What is right?
I'll tell you what's right. Not being in a war that'll kill millions of Americans. Not endangering the next generation unnecessarily. You know, the Bible makes it clear sometimes there's just wars. You don't have a choice. And most of the time there's unjust wars. And there's nothing right now on this planet that would be a just war in the present moment. Yet,
point to any war that is just?
You mean with the Bible?
I'm just saying.
How about the parting of the Red Sea and the vanquishing of the enemies that were chasing the people going into the Promised Land? That was a war, but it was decided by God's holy intervention.
Well, when we go to look for scriptural reference, we got to remember one thing, is that what the children of Israel did, they were decreed by their God to go and do. Now, King Saul went about having wars with just about everybody and was victorious for a while until he wasn't. But if we're doing something in the glory of God, as you know, to free oppression for people, well, I mean, yeah, that's what we're doing outright, because that's what we said we were going to do for Iraq and Afghanistan. But is that what we really did?
Of course.
And these are the same people who lied us into it. This is Doug's opinion.
Who lied us into it? Who lied us into it?
The presidents.
Okay. Because right now, Trump may be guilty of some things. He ain't guilty of that.
Well, he didn't put us into war with Afghanistan and Iraq.
Exactly.
No, okay. I'm saying like let's say Bush, okay?
Bush.
I would Bush. Agree. Bush and Dick Cheney lied us into something that made them very, very rich. And that made all these politicians very, very rich off of the warm bones of the men and women who died over there in that godforsaken desert, which were my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bone to pick with every single politician,
and I empathize with your loss. But I'll also say this: how many Iraqis died? How many Afghans died that didn't deserve to die either because of this?
No. Trust me. I think about that. We killed over 4 million people.
I know. I hear you. 4 million.
And that war also went into other countries. It also went into Syria. It went into Libya. It went into Pakistan. Now it's all throughout the Red Sea. It was in Africa. And all I ask myself is that if the wars continue and they don't stop, what's the point in the wars? And when you find out that we supplied the boogeyman that we went and killed, How much of this am I still supposed to be putting support into my politicians? And all of our money that we make goes to supply the boogeyman, or the money that we make goes to supply X, Y, and Z that has nothing to do with helping the fellow Americans anymore. I have no faith in my government. I have faith in my God, and I'm confused. I'm confused about my government. I'm confused about our entire history. The more and more I explore it, and the more occultic that it appears that was our origination, the more I sit back and I just go, if I could take it all back and not be a proponent of it, I think I would. I think it would. I think many of us were blinded by the waving of the flags, by the patriotism. I call it propaganda, and I also call it psychological warfare. It's exactly the same way Nazi Germany was captured, same way Mao Zedong captured China, same way you had the Soviets who captured the mindset of people. At first, it was for freedoms, and then it was rule by my power or you die. America is still in the freedoms part. I think we've been very fortunate. We've been very lucky. Almost every single president that we've had has been involved in a form of occultism some way, somehow, or another. With every president that comes aboard, we have the raising of Osiris, which happens by the Masons. Don't tell me Trump doesn't know any about that. Trump's not an idiot. Trump's an extraordinarily intelligent man. He knows the people he puts around him. He knows the globalists he puts around him. And he has to know the dark arts that are within the hearts of all these people. The man can't be stupid. He partied on Epstein's plane 4 times. So somewhere, somehow, all of these people in these higher ranking positions are compromised. They have a lever that can be pulled on them some way, somehow, because a dude like me is never getting into politics. They would, they would be scared to death to have someone like me, because I will hold by accountability via the Bible. They don't want that. They want do as thou wilt. Aleister Crowley, theosophy. That is, and like, seriously, when you start to look at the amount of occultism that's in America, and as someone who rah-rahed patriotism my entire life, worked for the government almost my entire adult life, I sit back and I go, were we all so easily deceived? And the answer is yes. The Bible says that we are not to take any type of oath at all, except to God. What do you do whenever you see the flag? Oh, I swear an oath to the flag and to the United States. We're not supposed to do that. But as Christians, we do it proudly because, for one thing, we are so vain in our want to be ruled, and we are so vain in our want for patriotism that we literally supplant our patriotism must mean faith in Christ at the same time. Yeah. But if you're that big on your country and your patriotism, you've got to understand we've done a lot of good in the world, but we've done a lot of bad. And you and I are on the same page as this. I would rather see America be made aware of her sins and repent and seek God for a righteous leader.
Well, it doesn't matter what we want at this point, because the Bible's really clear in the end days, and that may be where we're headed. The sins of the leaders will be exposed, and we're just doing our part, Doug. But that's scriptural. I want to address the Pledge of Allegiance thing here. I'm thinking of the words here. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Allegiance, I don't know, is an oath. And then it says, one nation under God. That's a very positive statement.
Who's God? The Masons' God? Lucifer? Our founding fathers?
Listen, I don't disagree. Old. I've said this week after the convention. I said I heard a lot of talk about God, and I do think Trump is here because of divine intervention, personal opinion. But I heard a lot of talk about God. I heard no talk about Jesus. And I know that's where you're going with that question. And I can't say that I disagree with the question you're asking and the meaning behind it. Christians, do not be deceived. I want to talk about Nazi Germany for a second, Doug. I've read many accounts, and of course, I got family history that goes back into this with my ancestors. Religion went by the wayside, and Hitler became the religion. And Hitler was deified like a god. They talk about God, you talk about Hitler. Talk about Hitler, you're talking about God. And there was an occultic allegiance to him. You see the occultic symbolism in the marches and all the grandiose displays that they had. A lot of it was very satanic. And we run the risk here, and I want to say this very clearly. We support Donald Trump, some of us. Okay, we support Donald Trump, but it doesn't mean we support everything about him. It doesn't mean that we don't call him on the things that we don't like. Because my fear is we don't become Nazi Germany and we turn him into an occultic figure, a figure like a god, and he's the savior. He's one man. He's one man, and that's it. And we need to be careful to keep it real, because, you know, a lot of us thought when Trump was elected in 2016, he's going to fix the deep state. With regard to the deep state, he didn't change a damn thing. He made the economy better, right? He made the military better. He improved the economy. I mean, you're paying $1.80 for gas. What can I say? But he didn't do a damn thing about the deep state. And my fear is today, Doug, and I want to get your reaction to this. I hear people talking about Trump like he's God, and he ain't God.
No, he's not. And it's not popular to say it. You know, people idolize Trump. And what's dangerous about that is because people idolize Trump, they're willing to just shrug off a lot of things that he did. They're like, well, Trump's the better of two evils. Trump's better than this. Trump's better than that. Yeah, Trump is compromised. Trump calls himself a Christian.
You're never going to get away from that.
I don't care for it.
I don't either.
I don't. Once again, this is just Doug's opinion. I don't care anymore who's running for office, because to get into that high elevation, I am for now on convinced, you had to be someone somewhere at some place in time doing things that we would probably consider unnatural to either children, or you are somewhere, some way, somehow bought off. And there's a lever that can be pulled, and that's how you get into those positions, i.e. Epstein. Going back to the Pledge of Allegiance real quick, that was wrote in 1892. And originally it said, I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It was President Eisenhower in 1954 who inserted under God. And the guy who wrote it was a Freemason and a Baptist minister.
That's a nice combination. Bellamy. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. We live on Satan's planet. That's a fact. And about the only politician I think is unspoiled by the times, there ain't very many. And one that's prominent, I think, was Ron Paul, maybe. But you're not going to get pristine people who've not paid a price. Let's just take one thing we talked about a lot before we went on the air. BlackRock owns 72% of all world assets, 98% of all U.S. asset management. And so you can't run for office with corporate campaign donations and not have BlackRock having a big say. You're not going to get away from that. And BlackRock is evil personified. It is satanic. And its leader, Larry Fink, I consider him to be a servant of Satan. That's my opinion. I hope you listen. We're supposed to love our enemies, and he's serving Satan. He's my enemy. But we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for their redemption. So I do pray for that. I hope he would come around. Larry Fink is running America right now.
Has been.
BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, they're all interlocked. They run America, and they run the what we'd call the free world. So much for freedom, but they run the G20. They even run the third world nations. When I looked into Lahaina, Doug, all the developmental companies that benefited from the people in Lahaina only being paid 40% of what their lands were, so they never get to go back and build. The major asset manager of these companies and those banks, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. So we can't have politics without them. This is why I've said this, Doug. If I could be president for a day, just a day, and that's all I'd ever want to be, and I'd hope I'd survive the assassin's bullet, but I would say, number one, we'll never have corporate campaign donations again. It's a felony. And we're not going to lie to create shell corporations to get that done. We're not going to have any campaign donations. The parties, you elect who you want, raise your own money for your own convention. And here's the reality. At the end of the day, we're going to fund the campaigns equally, and each side will have equal representation. It won't be a two-party system. We're not going to have this. You must get 100,000 signatures to be on your state ballot. We're going to do away with that BS that has two wings of the same bird running the show. That's the first thing I do. No corporate campaign donations, period. And then I would have term limits, and those term limits would immediately go into action. If we could do those two things, and then the third thing I would add is I would use the Sherman and Clayton Antitrust Acts to break up BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, and break them into 1,000 corporations so they could never have the power they have now. And then maybe we could start to set things right. But I think the infection is at stage 4 cancer. I don't think we have an answer for that substantially among humans. And you had a line today. I'm going to give you credit for it here. It's the best thing I've heard for a long time. We don't need to make America great again. Doug said we need to make America repent again. And that's the only thing that's going to save this country, in my humble estimation.
Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe.
Yes.
It's also in the Amplified version, it says, Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the glory of Christ, the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan is a deceiver, a liar, a murderer. Satan is considered the god of this world. Now, God created the world, but he is on a Satan is on a choke chain, as I'd like to say. And there is a restrainer that's holding back all this calamity. And because of that, and because we know what we know about these politicians, I have a lot of questions for a lot of them. And I guess the only reason why I really even care at this point is when I see someone who is wooing the hearts of Christians, who is claiming to be a Christian, who does not show up by his fruits based off of just a pure standard of the Bible. Confess your faith with your mouth. And I don't hear it happen. I go, okay, so if Trump is not going to confess Jesus Christ as his Lord, but he'll keep saying God, like all the other deists and theists and all those out there do, then he's deceiving people. And if he's going after one group of people, who's the Christians, who are the majority of people, not only the majority of people in America, but they're also the majority of people in America who would get up and go in arms against something if you had a person who could convince them to do it. But the people who have Trump's ear, it's disparaging to see him surround himself with the New World Order again, and for people to just fall head over heels over him. If you say anything about Trump, people attack you with vitriol. And as Christians, we're not supposed to do that to each other. But if I attack people's golden calf, which is Trump, who's not going to make America great again, Jesus does that. You put your hopes and faith in flesh, you're already going against what the tenets of Christ has taught us. But people don't know what they want. And once again, I understand why people want Donald Trump as president. We don't want another Obama. We dang sure don't want a Hillary. I really hope we don't get a Kamala. And we are more than ready and willing to be rid of Joe Biden.
Well, how about Big Mike? You left Big Mike out.
Well, yeah, Big Mike. There's inappropriate things I want to say about that, so I'm going to leave that there.
Okay. but would you be in favor of the former first lady, in quotes, being in the...
No, White House? I would not be.
All right.
Now, here's me trying to reason with people. I understand why you want Trump. I pray for Trump's salvation. I pray that if God puts Trump into that position, that he rules righteously. And outside of that, I have no control except to cry out to God. And that's it. Give God no rest. Please give us someone who's righteous. Please put it on the hearts and minds of American citizens to stop their sinning, to repent, and let us try our best to right the wrongs of this nation before the master flips the ship over. That's all I can hope for. And over whoever he puts at the head of the ship, I can only hope that it's not an Ahab who's on an ego frenzy, who wants to kill the white whale no matter what, if it takes him down or not. Yeah. I just hope that he puts someone there that will guide this country. I have children. You have children. I want to see a good future for my children. And I still live in this country. I don't want to live in an Iraq that I've been in before. I don't want to live in a Venezuela that looks like it's about to go to another civil war if Maduro doesn't get elected.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to live in a place like that. But if, and look, I guess at the same point in time, God's will be done.
Yeah.
My job and my goal here as someone who preaches the word of God is to continue to do that. No matter what hellscape I'm in, or no matter what blissfulness I'm in here. And ignorance isn't bliss. That's why I'm not ignorant to what Trump is or what he surrounds himself to be. I know from my facts, which are different from other people's facts, because I'm actually researching this stuff, Trump's not a Christian. Trump surrounds himself with the New World Order. Could Trump be used beneficially by God if that is God's choosing? It is all up to God's choosing. That's why I don't vote no more.
Do you think that Trump had a come to Jesus moment when he survived the bullet? You think that's
possible? I can't tell you what's in the man's heart. God judges the heart, and I can't tell you what's in the man's mind.
Yeah.
But if he had a come to Jesus moment like I did years ago, and I proclaim it every single freaking show that I'm on, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and he pulled me out of the gutter. He said that I was one of the sinners out of the 99 that he would go out into the storm to go and find and bring back to the village and show everyone, look, I brought back my one lost sheep. And he said that the angels in heaven would leap and shout for joy when I walked through because I was a sinner, not one of the 99 righteous. And I hope and pray the same thing for Donald Trump. And that's the most amount of support any of these politicians will get, because it's the same thing I'm going to give Joe Biden. If that man's dead and he didn't repent, then he's in hell. And as hard as this is for even someone like me to sometimes want to say, is I don't like that man. I'm open about that. I don't like that man. But God says that he does not even want a wicked man to perish.
I know.
But that all would seek repentance.
And so we have to honor that, Doug.
Yeah. So that's where Doug's at mentally, politically now. It's been a long time coming for me to, I was a rebellious young man. I was very ill-tempered in my younger days. And then I saw Trump and I said, hey, Trump makes everyone feel nervous. He makes the left feel squeamish. I want that. But that was me in my flesh wanting that, not me saying, God, your will be done. I know Trump's almost all of his families are Kabbalists. All of his nearest family are Kabbalists, linked into George Soros. His buddy is Larry Fink, who looks like now is going to be the Treasury Secretary. I could read you an article about that.
Where'd you get that info? Because I'm not seeing that anywhere.
CryptoRank.io. says, and this was posted July 21st, Bitcoin lover Larry Fink is Donald Trump's pick for U.S. Secretary. Donald Trump has aligned himself with yet another active player in the crypto industry, Larry Fink, the founder of BlackRock, you know, the company that holds 310,470 Bitcoins worth $17 billion. Trump has chosen Larry as his pick for U.S. Secretary. This might sound like an odd match since Larry is something of a lefty, but the two have had a history together and they share a mutual respect that has grown over the years.
Okay. I'll say this though. I think it's a step down for Larry Fink to take that position, given what he's doing now. I got breaking story that's come across in apparel. It directly relates to what we talked about earlier. Just listen to this and tell me what you think. Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat from Maryland, chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, will preside over a joint session of Congress on Wednesday for a speech by Benjamin Netanyahu, the Senate office confirmed today. Cardin will be fill the role normally held by the vice president. Vice President Harris' staff did not respond to answer a request for comment, but she is reportedly expected to be traveling, that's the excuse, during Netanyahu's speech. I find this very odd that she's not there. And you have a head of state coming in. Where's Joe? Our current head of state should be meeting their head of state, not some lackey that runs a committee in the Senate. Doug, listen, this just adds fuel to the fire that Biden may not be around.
Well, I mean, if Joe's not going to meet him and Kamala's not going to meet him, wouldn't it next go in line with an affiliate member of the White House or?
The Speaker of the House.
The Speaker of the House.
Joint session. So if it's not the vice president, who's the president of the Senate, and that's the protocol, it should go to the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. But what's Mike Johnson? Well, he's kind of a GOP. He's really a rhino, but he's kind of a GOP. And so, no, we can't have that. So we'll get the head of a committee. I mean, it's either Joe's not around or this entire administration has been told, stand down. We're doing this for perfunctory reasons, for show, but we don't support Netanyahu. We don't support Israel. That's what also could be going on here. I know Doug's deep in thought.
I don't like any of this, from the attempted assassination to where we're at right now tonight, Tuesday, July 23rd, 2:10 in the morning here, Texas time. I don't like anything that's going on. I don't believe anything that I'm seeing. I believe it's all political theater. I think the whole idea of the Republican Party and the leftists are all captured. I don't think you have much of a choice. I think choice is really an illusion at this point. I don't think our vote means diddly anymore. And I think there's an abject goal to oppress and suppress the American people, either via you doing it willfully or having a civil war and then it be done. And that's where I think we're going to get led to eventually. And I want to bring up another person that is within Trump's wheelhouse that should worry people. And that's J.D. Vance, the soon to be vice president, if he gets sworn into it. And J.D. Vance's best buddies, Peter Thiel, another globalist who's into spying on everybody, tracking everybody's movements, part of the CIA funds. I mean, this guy literally during Trump's time, whenever his tenure in the first term, he was getting people put into the Pentagon and into intelligence agencies on behalf of him that only elevated his position in AI, in crypto, in the stock market. I mean, most of the AI and stuff that's going on right now in Ukraine for defense contracting is ran by Palantir, by Peter Thiel. He is a New World Order globalist, and it's another dude Trump puts in his deck of cards.
It's not formal, but I have a concern too. I wouldn't go as far to say he's putting him in. Is he associated with J.D. Vance? I've heard this in a number of circles, so I think it's probably true. But I'm going to say this again, and I'm not excusing them, but BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, your huge corporations, you're not getting elected in political office unless you have the backing of these groups. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. And I'm not saying that we should look the other way. I go back to my original statement. We need to break up these monopolies so they don't have this power.
I agree to that.
But aside from that, it's a problem. I agree. It's a problem. But, you know, let me tell you this. With Trump initially and J.D. Vance, I don't fear FEMA camps. I fear the Democrats are going to try to put MAGA there because Biden made the speech that was written for him on September 1st, 2022, when he declared all of us who are MAGA, basically, if you're a constitutional republic believer, you're for the First Amendment, Second Amendment, so forth, you are a domestic terrorist. And DHS came back and backed that up with the crap they pulled. And now they want to limit our speech with malinformation, misinformation, disinformation, and they want to criminalize it as terroristic speech. So, yeah, I fear that we're going to have lockdowns in this country. We're going to have people locked away and exterminated, and that's how I see the left. And I've been asking people this question since I started in radio in 2007. I've asked a lot of people, what do you think the left won't do to retain power? Answer, nothing. I don't see that extreme behavior on the right, although I do share your concerns about associations. I think one side is more evil than the other, but I take the view, I know Romans 13 says we're supposed to obey government, but I've never seen a good government. Government's made up by people who have a narcissistic personality disorder, they're paranoid, and they could give a crap about the people. They just smile at you every 4 years, and that's about it. And they're in it for themselves. And this is why empires crumble and fall, because eventually they lose the support of the people and they forgot what made their nation great. And this describes nations, and we're going through that now. We're an empire in decline, Doug. And we're an empire in decline because we're ruled by a bunch of fill in the blanks.
I don't know, man. All I can say is that I, for me and mine, we will serve the Lord. That's it. That's the only place that the, for me, the buck stops there.
Yeah.
Everybody else, you can go do what you want. You can go fight your little wars. You can have your little kingdoms versus kingdoms, your ethnicities versus ethnicities. We are going to stay on the path that God put us on, which is to preach the gospel. And that's, I don't know, man.
I hear you. I hear you, Doug.
That's my allegiance.
And I'm right there with you. I just don't share the universal condemnation that both sides are equally as evil. Although I will admit, both sides could end up going right to the evil and be just as bad as the other side. But where I see it right now, there is a distinct difference in levels of evil. But here's the other thing, too. If you take a totally Christian view, all sins are the same in the eyes of God. Lying is as bad as murder in the eyes of God. All sins are equal. God doesn't.
Well, the Bible says the Bible says that there are some sins that are worse than others.
Yeah, but you're going to go to hell if you have any sin on you that you've not repented for.
Well, I mean, lying, if you're a liar, that's, I think that's Revelation 21 or 22. Those are actually parts of the groups of people who will be kept out of heaven. And you know, here's one thing to speak about liars. And, you know, I don't really care if I have friends. I have all the friends that God ever needed me to have. And I'm not here to pick fights with people. I'm here to try and spread the gospel and to call out what I see. And there's another group that Trump surrounded himself with that is more upsetting than the globalists, and that's the fake Christian movement. And I know we don't like talking about that, but the fake Christian movement is the most disturbing thing to me, because I think it's going to involve part of this combination of this one world religious movement that'll eventually wrap itself into a one world organization.
Gaia.
A new world order.
Well, you know what I'm talking about when I say Gaia, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's where I think it's going. Or but, Chrislam, what the Pope has said about blending.
No, it's absolutely Chrislam. And it's led by the Catholics, who J.D. Vance is a Catholic. It's led by the Catholics. You have the New Apostolic Reformation, which are all these fake preachers and ministers who blend Eastern esotericism. They take Hinduism and Buddhism, the stuff Blavatsky would talk about with theosophy, and they blend this together with Christianity, and it's all to capture the minds of people who aren't reading their Bibles, not having discernment. I'm going to start preaching. They don't have discernment. They're not reading their Bibles. They're being fooled. Matthew 24:4, Jesus says, do not be deceived. How many people will say, well, you know, I'll excuse this behavior because they can benefit me here. I'll compromise my morality and my character for, you know, supposedly me trying to be a Christian, and I'll vote for this guy because he's the lesser two evils.
I'll do this, I'll do that
because it makes me feel good. We vote based off our flesh. We want things based off our flesh.
Yes.
And we can understand that. We all can comprehend and understand that. But as a Christian, you're called to a higher calling. And what are you first? Are you American and patriot first, or are you Christian first? Are you kingdom of God first, or American citizen first?
There's a variable I think that you're leaving out of that, though. God, family, country. I got to choose between country and family. I'm choosing family.
Every time.
Family is the basis of society anyway. Any sociologist will tell you that. We're just about out of time, Doug, but there is one more breaking news item out there. Netanyahu has requested a meeting with Trump. Read between the lines, people. He didn't request a meeting with Kamala. He didn't request a meeting with Biden.
I'll tell you,
the mystery deepens here as we go off the air. Doug, we got just about a minute. Tell people how they can follow your good work.
Well, for as long as I'm allowed on, radio or TV to say the crazy things I do, apparently. You can find us at YouTube and at Rumble. AmericanVindictusShow.com is our website. American Vindictus Show is us on YouTube and Rumble. Vindictus Solutions is our training website. If you need training, which it looks like we all may need a little brush up in training, please visit us over at VindictusSolutions.com. Yeah. You can also find us at TheCommonSenseShow.com.tv for the Intel Report. Also on Rumble is the Intel Report and Dave Hodges, TheCommonSenseShow.com. Please make sure that you're liking, sharing, subscribing, spreading out the information that we are talking about. And Dave, our little mantra here, train, yeah, prep, pray.
That's right. Train, prep, and pray. Your phrase again. You've got two good ones there. By the way, I'm Dave Hodges. I'm the Common Sense Show. He's Doug Thornton, American Vindicta. So Doug Thornton, Crazy Doug, is signing off. And Crazier Dave Hodges is signing off too. We hope we made you think. We're not telling you what to think. But I hope it helps you re-examine your priorities. This show makes me re-examine mine. I know Doug says the same. We're out of here. We'll see you next time. Thanks.